Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Melody Cederstrom, and you're listening to Financial Survival. I'm here with my co-host, Alfred Addisk, to bring you our opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events for Monday, July 28th, 2014. Good afternoon, Al.
Hello, Melody.
Hey, it's great to be back, and interesting day in the markets today. You know, gold was down. It seems gold is always down on Mondays. It, like, moved and stayed there. I mean, it didn't even fluctuate just a little bit. A little bit of trading range today, a low trading range, 1301 to 1306, ending up at 1305.90 on the New York spot price. It still trades for another little over an hour. Silver down 14, 2017. Platinum up 11 at 1494, along with palladium up 1. At $884. The USDX today is trading slightly lower after it was able to move over that 81 level. We're looking at 81.03. Crude oil today is down 45 cents at 101.64. And the paper markets today, they were down almost triple digits, but they did turn around. We have it's a little bit of a mixed bag today. The Fed meeting starts, I believe, tomorrow. You have July jobs report coming out at the end of the week. So it's going to be, you know, if you believe in the numbers and if you believe that the markets really react to those numbers. The Dow was up 21 points today at 16,982. The NASDAQ down 44.
Or fight.
Or fight what?
Well, it was actually, it was 54-44, 54-42 or something like that. It was the it was a slogan out of the maybe early 1800s about where the border with Canada would be.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was 54-40 or fight or something like that. It wasn't quite 44, but it was just kind of an obscure reference, which I make from time to time.
Very.
Yeah.
The S&P was basically unchanged at 1978, and the 10 years yielding 2.49%, up 0.02. Oh, not a lot of information out today. The National Association of Realtors, they came out today with the existing pending home sales. The index came in at 102.72 in June. But down still from the revised number in May of 103.8. There was a pending home sales index was very strong in May at 6.1% in May. So you know, it just shows, you know, it's softening, and we really shouldn't have had a softening in pending home sales in June, considering that, you know, it's only the second month of the season, really, since the home buying season begins in spring. And so it's a little, to me, it was a weakening number, and of course they might revise it 8,000 times before we get the final number, but, and of course that is an exaggeration, Al.
I thought it was just another obscure reference, but we could, I have my obscure references, you have your exaggerations.
Today the Lloyd's, Lloyd's Banking Group is paying $3.69 million to the U.S. and British authorities to settle allegations it manipulated a key global interest rate. Lloyd's, one of the world's largest banks, on Monday became the sixth financial firm that was sanctioned, and of course the international rate rigging scandal. And what's interesting is, like, why doesn't the U.S., I mean, little Timmy Geithner knew, you know, that the banks were doing it. They knew that you know, the LIBOR rate was being rigged. Everybody knew it was being rigged. So we'll see how this continues to play out as far as the number of banks that actually get fined, and of course they will be allowed to avoid criminal prosecution, of course.
Yeah, I know. They can buy their way out.
They can buy their way out.
What did you tell me that the fine was on the Lloyd's Bank? Did you say $3.6 million?
$369 million.
$369? Okay. Well, and so, it seems semi-significant, but I doubt that it really does them significant harm. You know, $369 million. Yeah, it's, you know,
and it's still
not necessarily better than a poke in the eye with a sharp stick. You know, but I don't know how much that's going to impact the bank.
It's not going to impact the banks at all. It's just a, you know, it's just a token. They were all involved. They all knew what was going on. The individuals are certainly not going to send the head honchos to prison. And so they will avoid criminal prosecution for admitting responsibility for misconduct.
Well, you can't put like rich people in jail, Melody. They don't. Rich people don't. That's for poor people in the middle class. For rich people, probably not.
Yeah, well, this isn't something very minor. I mean, the LIBOR, the rate, is used by the banks to borrow from each other. It affects trillions of dollars.
Oh, I understand.
And it includes not just one area, but world mortgages, bonds, consumer loans. Mm-hmm. And how does this affect consumer loans? You would think all those consumer loans would be voided because it was based on a rigged LIBOR.
You know, that's actually a pretty good argument. Fraud vitiates all contracts. That's a standard principle in Western law. And if you can prove that fraud was involved, the contract, the resulting contract, might be voided. But
that's probably
what does that mean? Does it mean you give the house back? You get to keep the house without paying the mortgage? What does it mean if the contract is voided? It's a peculiar.
Well, it wouldn't be fraud if there's no criminal prosecution.
Not necessarily. You can charge fraud civilly. You don't have to charge people criminally to prove fraud. You can do it civilly also.
You could, but have to do it on an individual basis, and you, this would not be something that the...
No, I think you can do it. You can go after institutions or whatever, but still, it's an interesting argument. The possibility, if it turns out that the mortgages, there's evidence that can be seen from banks like Lloyd's Group agreeing to pay a fine, that becomes good evidence that they have, for a civil suit, that they did engage in fraud. Now what happens? What happened? How does that affect? How many people, especially American mortgages, can be traced back ultimately to Lloyd's of London? Do you have any idea?
No.
I mean, they're not making the loans in this country so far as I know, but they may be backing the loans that are being made in this country. They might have an indirect relationship. But the principle, it applies, even if Lloyd's is not the specific group you're going after that you want to allege fraud against in this country, still, what we see happening in with Lloyd's lays a foundation where you might find a similar kind of fraud with the Bank of America. All right? and you might be able to pattern what's happened in Lloyd's in a way that exposes Bank of America or whatever other bank you wanted to look at, charges allegations of fraud and see what would happen. You know, I've got an article here from ZeroHedge.com that parallels what we're talking about. The headline is London Fix Gold Rigging by Bullion Banks Exposed in Class Action Lawsuit. And just as little of the text from the article is some interesting news crossed the tape late yesterday when it was reported that the silver bullion banks, Deutsche Bank, Bank of Nova Scotia, and HSBC, were sued for manipulating the silver fix in a class action lawsuit. All right, so the silver fix is being sued. More. A few weeks earlier, far more informative and detailed class action lawsuits filed by Edward Dirksen against the London Gold Fix member banks, Bank of Nova Scotia, Barclays, Deutsche, HSBC, and SocGen, Societe Generale. Now, the point here is now we have two class action suits, one against the silver fix, one against the gold fix. This is interesting. This has followed an official revelation that over 100 years, the price of gold was consistently manipulated during the London fix. The very process of the gold and silver fix itself was finally ended, only to be replaced with a comparable process running by the same people who manipulated gold and silver from Rothschild's London office at St. Swithin's Lane for decades. So we are left, what we're looking at is evidence that the gold fix and the silver fix are being at least sued. Strong probability is the existing gold fix and the existing silver fix will cease to exist. But now, will we see a new and improved gold and silver fix that replace them? Is that what we're going to see? And even if we do, will they be able to manipulate the gold and silver to the same extent that they have in the past? What we're looking at, perhaps, is at least a significant reduction in the powers that be, their ability to manipulate gold and silver. I'm not going to say that they're going to stop manipulating those prices, but it may be that we're witnessing the end of massive, blatant manipulation. It may be more refined and less pronounced in the future, which should mean the prices are going up. The great significance of these reports on the gold, the suit on the gold fix and the suit on the silver fix, the great significance is not simply that the gold fix and silver fix are being sued. The great significance, from my perspective, is that either one, the powers that be are allowing the gold and silver fix that have been there for a century or more to be sued for reasons which remain to be discovered. We don't know why. But are the powers that be allowing these lawsuits? Or, two, have the powers that be grown too weak to protect the gold and silver fix from being sued? I mean, in the past, if somebody wanted to sue these institutions, I would have thought, I'm only guessing, and I don't know this to be absolutely true, but I would have thought that it would be very difficult to sue them. But insofar as we have two suits that are at least online, not yet won or lost, but at least online, one against silver fix, one against gold fix, indicates a significant change. Somebody up there either no longer loves the gold and silver fix, or somebody up there no longer has power to protect the gold and silver fix. What do you think that might be, Melody? Do you think they are just allowing the gold and silver fix to just go and maybe be replaced? Or do you think that the powers that be have grown too weak to continue to protect the manipulation in the gold and silver markets?
You know, you're not going to like my answer.
Oh, I know the answer. It's going to be both. It's going to be both or maybe even all three. That's what it'll be. I think all three. I only gave two. Well, just in case. You might come up with another one. I believe all three. Okay. Go ahead. Say it.
I'm not sure what this is all about, because you really have to get into the minds of the elitists in order to try and figure out what they're doing and why they are allowing it to happen. And they do have control, and I think their control is greater than what anyone believes and understands their control. And so if I'd have to say anything, I think it is... I just can't figure out the logic and the reasoning behind it. I mean, these look, we just talked about the LIBOR rate scandal.
Mm-hmm.
They'll pay millions and billions of dollars of fines because they rigged the biggest rate fix in the world. So as far as it comes to rigging, why would they care if they get fined or taken to a lawsuit for rigging gold and silver? They're just going to pay a little bit of fine, and they go on their business. So I don't think the lawsuits really have the major impact on why they're pulling out of the fix.
Here's the way I look at it. I think the fact that they can be sued, even civilly, right, for now, they're avoiding criminal prosecution. But the fact that anyone can even sue them civilly is a good indication that the day is coming when they may be charged criminally. All right? The noose is tightening around their neck, and it might not be tight enough to strangle them just yet, but on the other hand, it is there, and it's tightening around their neck. It indicates a change in global climate where people understand the manipulation is taking place, and there's enough pressure being brought to bear where it can't be continued.
But compared to the markets in gold and silver, compared to the LIBOR rate, I mean, you're talking trillions and trillions in the LIBOR rate situation. The gold and silver is not nearly the volume. So why is the gold and silver lawsuit having more of an impact? I mean, I'll guarantee you for the LIBOR rate fix, there's tons of lawsuits out there floating around. Tons, because you're looking at all these cities and governments around the world that base their that base their munis and everything else on the LIBOR rate. So there's got to be tons of lawsuits out there.
Well, there may be.
Now,
but I'm just saying, I'm looking at the climate. This just indicates to me that previously sacrosanct institutions that were too big to be sued. Effectively, just as some banks are too big to fail, some of these institutions were too big to be sued. Now they're not.
So they just pay a fine.
Maybe so, but still, it suggests that they don't have the same degree of power and influence that they once had 20 years ago.
Personally,
they're no longer protected people.
I don't think it's the power or the control or whether they're protected. I think it's because of the lack of gold that is out there. This is something that cannot be found, that there is no gold sitting around, or the amount of gold that they say is available is actually available. And I think that perhaps by doing it in this regard and changing the rate, and you know, it's more of a cover up to some degree. That's what they can't let the world find out.
It's puzzling, that's for sure. We know they're up to something.
I think it's the amount of gold.
But what is the answer to this puzzle? What's the explanation? What's the reason? What's going on here? I don't doubt we're going to find out. But at the moment, it's hard to look at this and say,
it's a rigged copper bark. I mean, yeah, come on. They're all rigged. They're all manipulated.
I understand, and they're going to have to go. That's why this is an important concept. Once we stop some of the rigging, it indicates that we're going to stop most of the rigging. It means the markets are going to be dominated by the free market. They'll become more volatile. The prices will go up. They'll go down, probably in precious metals. I mean, fundamentals will kick in a way they haven't kicked in the past. Precious metals should go up. We'll watch and see. But before we find out, let's take a break for some commercial announcements. I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival. We'll be right back. Please stay tuned.
prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, and Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
If you have a heart condition and emergency rooms and medical doctors are not an option, you need our emergency heart attack kit. 5 concentrated liquid formulas enter the system in 60 seconds to protect your heart muscle, strengthen heartbeat, increase circulation, relieve pain, and make breathing easier. When seconds count, you want all the help you can get with our emergency heart attack kit. Easy to use and portable in a 1-pound compact kit for your purse, briefcase, or car. Call Apothecary Herbs now for your emergency heart attack kit, toll free, 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International callers dial 704-875-8010 or order online at www.thepowerherbs.com.
American Voice Radio Network is heard on Galaxy 19 at 97 degrees west, transponder 23, frequency 12115, audio PID 2595. AVR is heard on the left side audio channel, and AVR 2 is heard on the right side audio channel. Remember, both AVR and AVR 2 are on Galaxy 19. Same network, double the choices.
Hi, folks. I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cedarstrom on Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver at 1-800-375-4188 for all your gold and silver coin needs.
Everything is pointing to gold and silver. If you don't have gold and silver in your portfolio, you need to start. And if you're looking to continue to accumulate, give us a call at 1-800-375-4188. We're still giving out 1 ounce silver eagles for the month of July. We'll probably continue this maybe through August, too. But for now, it's through July. You'll receive a 1 ounce silver eagle. We got some great pricing on silver eagles. The boxes of 500 along with $20 gold pieces. So give us a call, folks. We got no specials going on. We can make you your own special. Give us a call. Visit our website at dgscoins.com, dgscoins.com. And if you have any questions for the program, you can email us, questions@dgscoins.com. Well, there's been a little bit, I've had several questions and discussions today regarding the how investors must prepare now for chaos and wealth destruction. There was the SEC last week announced new rules for the money market funds. Funds will now be allowed to deviate. Al?
Yeah, they'll deviate from the heretofore sacrosanct $1 pricing model. I'm not even sure what that means, to say the truth, because money market funds are not something I study or involve myself in. I'm strictly going with the gold. But it goes on and it says the ability to charge penalties for withdrawals as well as to delay payment were also part of the announcement. which means you might not be able to get your money out of your money market funds as easily and painlessly as you have in the past. They're not going to be able to charge penalties if you try to take your money. See, they're not going to tell you you don't have the money. All right? Sure you have it. You just can't get at it without paying a fine. You understand? It's your money. We would never steal your money. We just won't let you take it without paying a fine. And also delay payments. All right? It's your money. We're going to get it to you. Just like we're going to get the gold to Germany. It may take a few years, but we're going to get it. We'll see that they get it. They take a decade or more, but what the heck. The author of this article, Robert Fitzwilson, he says this should be considered an omen to investors when considering how much capital to maintain in these funds as well as the investment strategy of the funds, yada, yada. He's arguing essentially that we're headed for periods of increased chaos. He says investors sent the message to the mutual funds that would be they'd be chosen. We would invest in those funds based on their ability to produce yield, that is to say, how much return on investment. Fund managers heard that message and have invested in instruments that might have a higher yield along with a higher risk. One of the problems we're facing right now, the Federal Reserve says, hooray, we're going to hold down interest rates and it's going to be a wonderful thing for all you people who want to borrow money. That's the theory. Well, it's a terrible thing for the people who want to lend money. And if I'm here, I'm able to lend money and you'd like to borrow money and where government insists on a deal where I have to lose money in order to lend to you, I'm not going to do that. I don't want to lend to you if it's going to cost me money. I want to lend to you at a price and a rate of return that seems fair to me and fair to you. You and I sit down and we'll say, okay, we're going to pay X number. We're going to pay X. You're going to pay me X percent. And I'm going to say, okay, I'll go along with that. I want to get the money out. I want to make a percentage. I don't want it to just sit there. And you don't want to pay an exorbitant. So in a free market sense, you and I can work out a percentage on this deal. But the government says, we're going to set that percentage interest rate so low that it won't even match inflation. And that means I'm being hurt, which means I'm not likely to lend if I can't make a dollar. And if what I'm going to lend to are other entities, perhaps overseas, where I can get a higher yield, a higher interest rate. But when I do, I assume higher risk, and that's what they're concerned about here. They're saying, by implication, they're saying that because government has manipulated interest rates artificially and suppressed them artificially, they've caused investors to look for investment opportunities that are often outside the United States and pay higher yield. They pay enough interest to offset inflation, okay? But they also carry higher risk, and this risk exposes the investors to sudden loss. The article continues. It says the changes in the money fund were just one of the stream of warnings that the chaos that many have warned is in our future might be uncomfortably close. Street violence is on the rise in many countries. The situation in the Ukraine continues to edge toward open warfare. Crucial parts of the Middle East are seeing war. Saudi Arabia and Libya might be next. Gaza is unstable. We all know what's going on in Gaza to some degree. It's certainly violent and death and so on. The most important conflict is the civil war within Islam itself between the Sunnis and the Shiites. They've been at each other's throats periodically since 632, which I believe is the year that the Prophet Muhammad died. Right? And the issue is who inherited the Prophet's mantle of authority. He died, but he didn't leave a clear, he didn't say, okay, here's my successor, and you follow him. So we've had the Sunnis and the Shiites are contesting for ultimate authority over the Muslim faith, and they get at each other's throats. You know, they can live peacefully, coexist peacefully for generations, but periodically they go after each other. And it is a holy war. And, you know, the author of this article says this may be the most important conflict within Islam itself. He says the ultimate result of this instability in the Middle East is we can expect higher oil prices. And then he goes on, more chaos. The move away from the dollar is now in full force with the BRICS, Brazil, Russia, India, China, and South Africa, announcing their own version of a World Bank, an international monetary fund. The reserve status of the dollar is at risk. For the year of precious metal, mining companies continue to lead the pack. And he's talking about paper investments by a wide margin. Now, question, and I'll get to this. I'll save the question until last year. He's pointing out, though, that it's extremely important that investors be properly positioned ahead of the coming chaos. And in terms of metal mining companies, precious metal mining companies, question for Melody is this. Do mining stocks react to the price of gold and tell us where gold has been? Or are mining stocks a leading indicator that tell us where the price of gold is going?
I don't believe mining shares are an indicator of gold prices rising or falling. I think his comment about the metal mining companies continue to lead the pack by a wide margin is because they were hit.
Yeah, they were so low. They
so
couldn't
low. I mean, so they're
they
not
fell,
even.
They fell down so,
know,
low.
So yeah, I could say.
High bounce.
Yeah. So, I mean, you can read that however you want, but. No, I do not believe mining shares are an indicator of gold prices rising or falling, just as I don't believe gold prices are an indicator whether the mining shares are going to rise or fall. I mean, as the price of gold rises, we all believe that the demand for gold is going to help push the mining shares. So if anything, I would think the gold prices would lead more of the mining shares either up or down than vice versa. However, we're in a rigged market, and the mining shares – you know, they're not, it's not gold. A lot of people own mining shares because they think they own gold. And they think because the fundamentals for gold are strong that the mining shares will follow along. That's not always the case. Certainly, you're going to have a large percentage of mining shares that will do well no matter what happens. But you have a company. And unless you understand that company, and how it works, who are the people behind it, the management, and everything else that involves, you better know what how mining works before you get involved with mining shares. So just because the fundamentals for gold prices, physical gold, is high, doesn't mean that all your mining shares are going to do as well. So you have to be very careful. You treat them differently.
Yeah, the fundamentals for mining companies are not the fundamentals
no,
for gold.
Not at all.
Say. And when you deal with a mining company or any other corporate investment, it's just like betting on which team is going to win the Sweet 16, all right, in the state basketball finals. You still got 16 teams up there. It'll go down to 8, go down to 4, go down to 2, and finally one of them. Which one of the 16 is going to win? Well, it's not just a question of who has a good team. There are 15 other teams playing. And even if you know that your team, the team you look at, say, I'm for the Tigers. They're the ones. You know, they got this big center and the rest of them. Yeah, I get that. But this is a competitive arena. It's not just fundamentals. There is a battle going on between the different mining corporations. And as a result of that, it's not, you know, there's a different level of volatility, a different level of uncertainty. In any case, this guy says he's concerned about chaos. And here's another article along the same.
I just want to make one comment on about those money market funds. Usually that really applies to your very large corporate accounts, your very large funds. And, you know, many people think that, and you'll hear from your stockbroker. And in fact, one of my clients had today just told me he talked to his broker. And he said, it wouldn't apply to individuals, just your big corporations and so forth. What this really means, I think what they're trying to avoid is you won't have this bank runs. It's not going to be – bank runs are not going to be the old-style bank runs where you see people lined out. Sure, you're going to see it, but not to the same degree. What I believe they're trying to avoid are online bank runs to where they can move huge amounts of funds with just the click of the button. That can destroy banks. That is what I think this really prevents these people, these huge market accounts, from doing, which means it also tells you just how soft or how the structure, financial, the financial structure is not very well.
It's fragile.
Very fragile.
And they are anticipating.
They are.
They are passing laws that restrict the ability of major institutions to withdraw money from money market funds, all right? And they're essentially passing, they are apparently passing laws to restrict that. And what this means is they are anticipating a moment. They're trying to get out ahead of this, and they're saying, you know, these guys are going to wake up one of these days, and they're going to try to pull their money out of the money market funds.
With a click of a button.
That's right.
And they are done in a second.
And they are trying to prevent that now by allowing for delays and also possible fines. But the point then, still, the underlying point is that government is anticipating a moment when this could happen. Right? This is like when government comes out and they pass a law that everyone needs to start building a bomb shelter in their backyard. It won't be for the purpose of stimulating the brick business or the block business or the concrete business. If they tell you that, it's anticipating you might be a big war coming your way. This is another evidence of what may be coming. All right, leaf in the breeze. Here's another article from Reuters, and it says Argentine default looms as time runs out for debt deal. Argentina looks to set to default on its debt for the second time in 12 years next Thursday, as negotiations with holdout investors seemingly go nowhere and neither side shows signs of blinking first. In fact, it appears that negotiations have ended. Another article I've seen indicated that the Argentine negotiators have gone home. That doesn't mean they couldn't come back, but for the moment they've gone home, and it appears that the negotiations on this debt deal are probably going to fail. Latin America's number three economy, all right, that's Argentina, has for years fought the holdout hedge funds, which snapped up its junk bonds after its $100 billion default in 2002, and then refused the restructuring terms, suing for repayment in full. Investors, when Argentina, you know, the old line from Baron Rothschild, if I recall correctly. He says, buy when the blood is flowing in the streets. And everybody's in a state of panic, and everybody's selling. They'll sell their house. They'll sell their car. They'll sell their stocks and bonds for pennies on the dollar because they're in a state of panic. He said, that's the time to buy. And apparently these investors did do that in 2002. They bought a bunch of junk bonds from Argentina, and they got them cheap. And here we are 12 years later, and they're suing for repayment in full. And Argentina's trying to avoid that payment. Well, after a slew of legal setbacks for Argentina and U.S. courts, the country has just days to comply with a 2012 ruling by U.S. District Judge Thomas Grisa to pay $1.3 billion plus interest to the people that are apparently allegedly entitled to collect on this debt. Well, here's the point. First, Argentina's pending default is another evidence of the kind of chaos that we talked about in the previous article, where we're saying, no, there's problems in the Ukraine, and there's problems in Libya, and Saudi Arabia, and Syria, and Iraq, and the South China Sea, and between Japan and China. We've got a lot of problems. There is evidence of chaos going on here, and Argentina's default is another evidence of that chaos. Well, what we're going to have to do is take a break. It's time for some more commercial announcements, and we're going to hammer on this idea, explore this idea of rising levels of global chaos when we return to financial survival. I'm Alfred Adask, here with Melody Cedarstrom. Please stay tuned.
countries have denied internet access for their people during civil strife. The FCC seized in-use commercial shortwave frequencies right after the September 11th attacks. No one communication system can be depended on to be there when you need information. You need choices. You need a KU band free-to-air satellite system from AVR. The AVR system includes a receiver, an LNB, and a 75-centimeter dish. All you need to get on your own is the coaxial cable. The system is delivered to your door for $149.99. That's right, delivered for $149.99. That's the shipping and the system, $149.99. Call 541-225-4659. That's 541-225-4659. Or visit AmericanVoiceRadio.com and click Satellite System.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cedarstrom, on American Voice Radio Network and Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Hi, folks. I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cedarstrom on Financial Survival, and we've been talking about reports of increasing chaos, right? And the first article predicted there's going to be more chaos. And what we're wondering is that an accurate prediction? Is it a probable prediction? Is it improbable? Where are we going to go with this? And as another article is pointing out, that Argentina is about to default on its debt. Is that merely interesting to the United States, or is Argentina's financial position enough to be, or is this a domino? All right, can this be one of the dominoes that's going to cause us some trouble? And second, it sounds as if the judge, U.S. District Judge Griesa, G-R-I-E-S-A, I'm not sure how to pronounce his name, but he's creating circumstances that will force the default. He's not cooperating at all with Argentina. I'm not saying he should, but what I am suggesting is that this case might have such significant international financial implications that at least if you have a conspiratorial perspective, you might expect that Judge Griesa is doing what he's told. Which leads me to wonder, is it possible that the U.S. wants Argentina to default? Is that possible? Is it likely? I don't see a gain for it. I don't see a reason for it, but that doesn't prove anything. Could there be? Do they want a default in this situation? The prospect of an Argentinian default is certainly one more instance of the chaos that seems to be increasing and affecting the world. How many leaves do we have to see in the breeze before we finally begin to wonder? Maybe it's not a breeze, but it's a hurricane that's approaching, you know? And here's one more. Same idea. This is from the Associated Press. Headline, U.S. fuming over Israeli criticism of Kerry. Israeli media commentators have leveled almost nonstop criticism of Senator Kerry, or former Senator Kerry, who is negotiating peace, or attempting to negotiate a peace, ceasefire at least, in the Middle East between the Palestinians and the Israelis right now. Israeli media commentators leveled nonstop criticism recent days because Kerry's attempt to bring Qatar and Turkey, two countries viewed by Israel as strong Hamas supporters, into the ceasefire negotiations. Israel doesn't want Qatar and and Turkey in these negotiations. Secretary of State Kerry is saying, no, we need him in there. And he's also accused of abandoning some of Israel's key demands during the negotiations. Obama administration's pushback Monday at the torrent of Israeli criticism aimed at Secretary of State John Kerry's latest bid to secure a ceasefire between Israel and Hamas. With U.S. officials saying Kerry had no way, had in no way abandoned Israeli needs. Israel has no better friend, no stronger defender than John Kerry, said Tony Blinken, President Obama's deputy national security. He said the criticism of Kerry is based on people leaking things that are either misinformed or attempting to misinform. We certainly can't have that. I mean, this is not like the government, like President Obama, trying to misinform us about the inflation rate, the unemployment rate, various other economic indicators. That's good misinformation. Misinformation is the misinformation you get from your government. Bad misinformation is what you get from people outside of the government.
Selective.
Yeah. Here's the point. This is more evidence of potential Kerry. And one of the people, other officials used even harsher language, saying the attacks on Kerry crossed the line and put the relationship between the U.S. and Israel in jeopardy. How strange is that? Now, I'd say that's hyperbole. I'd say that's exaggerated. And yet there it is. Those officials insisted on anonymity because they were not authorized to discuss the matter on record by name. Oh, bull crap. Not authorized by who? Right? Who authorizes me to talk on this radio program? You say what you want to say if you're going to say it. They can't hide behind this stuff, and these officials insisted on anonymity. They can't. They're not authorized to discuss the matter. So they do discuss the matter, but they don't give you their names. Some of this just gets laughable. It makes you laugh. It makes you wince. But all of this is more evidence of potential chaos. It's not just crises in the Ukraine, Syria, Iraq, Libya, Saudi Arabia, Argentina, China, Japan, and the South China Sea that point to global chaos. Even Israel's formerly rock-solid relationship with the United States seems threatened. We really are caught in an era of widespread instability and possible chaos. Will that instability diminish in the foreseeable future? Will we escape what may be global chaos? And if we do slide into global chaos, if it really goes that way, are we headed for an era marked by not just more chaos, but perhaps even a world war? So what's your answer, Melody?
Was that question to me?
Well, you were Frank. Frank, the producer.
I think this is interesting because I really think it was more, I think this is a lot of propaganda, and that's why you don't have people telling who they are. I mean, it's mm-hmm. been discussed for a long time that it was really the Obama administration that has isolated Israel.
True.
Since his come. So now here it's like they're trying to blame Israel to begin the breakup of the relationship. To me, I think this is just a little propaganda here. That's why nobody says anything, because of the situation that's happening in Israel. Today was the first day that I saw any type of statement come out of Washington as far as a stern statement to Israel and Hamas that, the ceasefire must remain intact. I'm not quite sure where that's at this point in time, but it doesn't seem like we're helping Israel or trying to solve the situation in any manner. Certainly I do believe war is, you cannot have all these hot spots without something major happening to us here in the States. So far, it's everywhere else. We haven't had any impacts here. Or have we, Al?
Well, Mexican border.
We have the Mexican border.
I mean, you can sit back and say, oh, everything's hunky-dory here in the United States, at least within limits, it appears to be. All right? But it's not necessarily true. What's going on with the border with Mexico?
Mm-hmm.
That is another flashpoint in the global in geopolitics right now. And it's hard to say what's really. Everyone sits back. Oh, we've always been friends with Mexico, and now there won't be a problem. Well, probably not. But that friendship is certainly being stretched and strained. And people want it to stop. They want that border secured. And if anyone does something really stupid and starts shooting, for example, somebody was shooting a 50 caliber machine gun from Mexico at Border Patrol agents last week. All right? Now, this is stupid. It may be the drug cartel who was doing this. It may be one of the drug cartels. I'm not arguing that it was the Mexican military. But still, this is stupid. The day is going to come when some moron is going to fire a 50 caliber machine gun to show off how macho he is over in Mexico. And next thing you know, we're going to have two or three dead border agents. And at that point in time, hard to say what's going to happen. We may wind up having Apache helicopters going up in the air and firing hellfire missiles at anybody who starts shooting across the border into the United States. Now, I agree that is an unlikely and extreme probability. It's not likely to happen. But something's going on here. And there's just more and more instability. And it makes you wonder, how unstable can it get? How long can this level of instability just stay at this level, which is at least tolerable relative to this country? How long can we be immune from it? So, you know, while people are saying gold is only worth $1,300 an ounce, what's it really worth? What's it really worth in the context of the chaos that may be headed our way?
And I believe the price of gold is going to rise to match the chaos that's going on today. And I think it's going to be a springboard. It's just going to spring because it will catch up. And I think it is so underpriced at this level, considering all these hot spots. I told someone today, if you're driving a car and you go through a red light every day, eventually you're going to get hit. And I think it's exactly what the chaos that we're talking about. I can't believe that all the hot spots that you mentioned, and we have gold that's, I saw it was up big on, you know, $14 on Friday and down today. Now there's,
well, it's evidence that one way or another, the price is being
absolutely
manipulated. And we were talking earlier in the program about the gold fix and silver fix are being sued, and they are going to cease to exist in their current form. And although they might be replaced by something else, all of it suggests that the free market will increasingly control the prices of gold and silver, and manipulation will be at least diminished. It might not be ended, but it'll be diminished. If that's the case, you know, you got on the one hand, you've got chaos perhaps blossoming around the world. On the other hand, you have a diminished ability to manipulate the gold and silver prices. What does it point to? It points to a rising price in gold, not necessarily this week, this month, next month. I don't know when it's going to happen. But it says, look, it's going up, folks.
You know what I find disturbing in all of the situations around the world, Al, is there isn't any leadership anywhere. Usually when you have a conflict, you can feel a little bit confident on one side that, you know, you can see and hear the leadership. There is none of that anywhere. There is no one leading anything.
Why do you think that is?
Well, I think the U.S. was always the leader. I mean, we always were the presence and, to sort things out, to negotiate. Now it seems that we have gone in there and we started so many of these situations, and we don't have a leader in Washington that's present in anything.
And, I don't know that we could, you know, Obama, in his own way, contributes to these problems. They may even cause some of these problems. But given circumstances where we are right now, I don't know that anyone could do much different. The issue is, are we merely dealing with an inept president of the United States, or are we dealing with a United States that has lost its financial and military capacity to maintain peace on the globe? And we've been the world's policemen since World War II. And it appears to me that we have run out of SWAT teams. We can't hold it all together anymore.
I think one is leading the other.
Responding to, well, it's hard to say where it goes, but that may be. It may be that there's so much chaos that the United States, we've tried to stick our snoot into so many different affairs to maintain peace and order. But maybe we just can't deal with the amount of chaos that's out there. On the other hand, if we pull in our horns and we say, look, we can't handle this anymore, certainly that will increase the amount of chaos. So which came first, the chaos or the American loss of power, decline in power? Whatever the answer is, Melody's right when she says there's no leadership. There is no central control right now. And what that means, increasingly, our nations are going to go back to, you know, a kind of nationalism. Mm-hmm. And they're going to say, I'm going to take care of number one and to heck with the rest of them. And just keep enough defense put together to keep the rest of the idiots off our backs. And I'm not sure that that's necessarily a bad thing. From my perspective, I would like to see the United States less involved in maintaining peace around the globe. Because I don't doubt that when they decide they're going to control what's going on over in Iraq, for example, that same mentality is a mentality that fosters a police state here in this country. If we can't run, if we can't police the world, I suspect that we'll have perhaps we'll have less of a police state in this country, which I think is hooray. You know, I'm good to go on that. I don't know that it's the right thing to do, but I think if we can get rid of the police state, diminish the police state in this country, if the cost of that is less involvement in foreign affairs, I don't have a problem with that. My instinct on that is, okay, let's do it.
Well, I guess we're out of time.
Not quite.
Another day.
20 seconds. 18.
I'm 16, not so sure you can stop 15. The police state that where we've already come. I'm not sure.
I have my doubts.
We can't go back until something happens. And then hopefully there's enough people in power to pick up the pieces and perhaps, but I think we're beyond that point.
Well, the point behind all of this is there is evidence that there's chaos coming. There is evidence that the manipulation of gold prices is going to be diminished. The prior point is, conclusion, gold and silver are going up. I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cedarstrom on Financial Survival. We'll be back tomorrow. In the meantime, may the good Lord bless you, me, Melody, and Frank, the producer. Bye-bye.
I work all night, I work all day to pay the bills I have to pay. Ain't it sad? Still, there never seems to be a single penny left for me.